a great honor to have Greg Beecher's brother here, his little brother, Grant, with us in the service, Reverend Grant Beecher, and his wife Amy, and their daughters, and their sons back in the back, and other kids. I didn't see all the others. I just saw your son and your two older daughters. Now, how many do you have? Five, huh? Okay. You have as many as the Klimmers. Okay. But not as many as the people that 18 and counting or 19 and counting or 20 and counting, whatever that show was that used to be on TV, 51 and counting. I've known Grant for a lot of years. My first recollections of him are back from Indiana, Hoosiers, where we call it pop instead of soda. But you've converted me. I call it soda here. However, you've not converted me to saying sleigh riding. I still say sledding, because a sleigh is what you pull behind a horse, horse pulls a sleigh, and we had a sleigh. So if we were going sleigh riding, it meant hooking up the horse or the pony and getting in the sleigh and going out in the snow. So I don't sleigh ride unless I have a horse to pull a sleigh. I go sledding, but that's a rabbit trail. That's not either here nor there. But Grant was in junior Bible camp, where we used to sing a song, Junior Bible Camp, this is our, it was, and Ann and Uncle Dan, Greg and I have talked about Ann and Uncle Dan, and oh my goodness, yeah. Grant's been our children's camp speaker for the past couple years, and we'll be speaking again this year, and he is nothing like Ann and Uncle Dan. But a few years ago, he was a counselor at our kids' camp here in, I was going to say Vassar, that's up in Michigan. Oh, goodness. Not Cloden either, because that's in West Virginia. Where Sprouse's Corner, get the right campground. I'm glad I didn't say Fairmount. Yeah, that's really dating myself. Fairmount would have been Indiana. Sprouse's Corner, and Grant was came and was a counselor, and I was a counselor, and I was being obnoxious. Imagine that. I don't do it very often. But I would start the morning off singing Rise and Shine to wake the kids up, and I would work really hard at getting up before them, and I don't go anymore because I'm afraid I might sleep in. No, just kidding. Anyhow, Grant was sitting there on the ground outside and talking to this little kid and asking him if he was having fun at kids' camp, and the little kid, yeah, except for there's one thing I don't like. That Myron guy singing in the morning, Rise and Shine. And Grant said, you know what? He sang that to me when I was a kid, too. Talk about feeling old. Way to go. And now you have kids that are, I feel really old. However, the girl that sang right here, she's married to a guy in our church. He was one of the teens in my first youth group. Her father was one of the teens in my first youth group back in Indiana. And now his daughter is married to a guy from our church. Yeah, I'm getting old. So anyway, Grant's going to come and share with us, or maybe Amy is, I don't know. Grant's going to come and share with us at this time. And I just really appreciate your willingness to come. And thank you so much. Because I know that Paul asked you to speak at the 11 o'clock service. Then I emailed him and said, hey, can you speak at this service too? So we adults get, I know you're good. So come on up, and Grant, and share with us this morning. And you don't even need a microphone.
They said I'll have, there you go. All right. I'm good. All right. Well, good morning, and greetings to you all from the other side of the valley. In Indiana, you never say that because there's no valley. It's flat. That's right. And so to find a place to go sledding was rare in Indiana. That's why you pulled behind a car.
That's right.
That's right. You pull behind a car in Indiana because there are no hills unless you're going to risk sledding down the bank of a river. You just hope it's solid at the bottom. But this morning it was interesting. I was talking last week to a coworker of mine, and the Victory in Jesus song, and it was so. I said, as a kid, Now, I love kids because, well, they keep us honest, and they are very honest. And and it's interesting, I said, you know, as a kid, when you sing these hymns, what you hear, because I couldn't read at the time, and so Victory in Jesus was one of my favorite ones, except there was one part in that song used to scare the life out of me because I couldn't figure out why Jesus would do this to anybody. And, you know, and you listen to people sing songs, and they're like, I don't think that lyric says that. And that was me. So I was like 4 or 5, couldn't read yet. And so we'd sing the songs all excited, but we'd get to this one part in Victory in Jesus, and I was just like, I don't want to sing that because that's a little scares me. And it's that part that says, and he sought me, and he bought me. Well, I heard it as a kid, he socked me, and he bought me. And I'm like, I had this envision of Jesus going around punching people in the face and saying, hey, you're mine now. And I'm like, I don't know that I want Jesus to do that to me, but okay, you all seem to be excited about it, so I'm not going to argue it. So I was great reminiscing this morning, and it was great to sing those songs. This morning, my prayer has been not only for Penn Forest, but also for Vertical for some time. It's right out of Isaiah chapter 64, and it has been probably for me the longing of my heart for quite some time. And it just simply says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. And that is my prayer this morning. Father, I pray that as I share what you have laid upon my heart, Lord, as Myron has already spoken, Lord, that you speak. God, get me out of the way. Let it not be my words, but let it be your words. God, we are in a time where we are desperately in need of your glory. Lord, we have your presence because you dwell within us. But Lord, we need your glory to come down and reveal once again who you are and the power you have to change lives, to change circumstances. God, that we don't need and have to live in fear of anything or anyone, but you have given us the boldness and the confidence to live in a righteous state with you and do mighty things. And I pray this morning, God, that whatever I say, may it be from you. Lord, burn away those things that are not from you. And Lord, I praise you for meeting with us this morning. You're here because your people are here. And we bear your presence. And I pray you would help us to step into that. These things I ask in the most powerful name on earth, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, we find this parable. Now, I'm from Indiana, as Myron and my brother are as well. Interesting thing, I have my two favorite times of year in Indiana were spring and fall. I love seeing the farmers out early in the morning planting. You know, planting in the fields. You'd see them all day long. And then in the harvest time, you'd see them wee hours of the night, wee hours of the morning. Got to get that harvest in before the first frost or before the winter comes. And there was something always unique about that, was you would see this incredible, of course, as a kid, this incredible equipment, you know, in the fields. You have these tractors, you know, these John Deere's, the Internationals, and all these things in the field, and they're plowing up the field. And then they're planting the field. And then what? Wait. The one thing we don't like. We wait. You know, every farmer, I am convinced, understands an aspect of faith that most of us don't. Because I'm not a farmer. I loved it. I was around it, watched it. But farmers have this unbelievable faith that when I'm done planting, I've got to, whether they believe him or not, they've got to trust something's going to grow. They have to trust something's going to grow. And my challenge to us this morning, are we prepared to be farmers again? Because the reality of it is, I may not own, you know, 1,000 acres. We have a nice little, that I don't even deal with, we have a nice little garden in the back that my family does, and if you know anything about me, just one thing, I am not a vegetable person. So I love watching the whole aspects of it growing, this, that, and the other. But there's this aspect of you plant and you wait. No matter where you're at in life, something is probably, you're waiting on something. And this morning, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this incredible parable. It says, that same day, verse 1, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. I take that as like, I'm glad he sat by the lake. Because now when I do it, I don't have to feel guilty that I'm missing something. You know, that I'm not getting my to-do list checked off. He went out of the house and he sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, while some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them what?
Hear.
Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the words that Jesus spoke from his mouth. So here's the story. So he's sitting by the lake and begins to teach this whole concept of what farmers do. Now, when you look at Scripture and you study Scripture, one of the biggest things it does, it speaks from a perspective of most of us don't understand anymore. It's from an agricultural standpoint. We go to offices, we go to factories, we go all these other things. We're on the internet now doing stuff from, you know, who knows where, doing who knows what. We don't understand of getting out anymore and saying, okay, we got to feed the livestock, we got to plant the crops, we got to, you know, we got to go fishing, we got to do all these things in order to survive. We don't understand that like we used to. And so Jesus takes the very thing that they're all used to and says, hey, a farmer goes out and he has this seed. And he what? Verse 4, there's an interesting word there I want us to understand because it's key to what we do today. Verse 4, as he was what?
Scattering.
See, now if you understand and you study in the Greek, that word scattering, it's the word we get from that is broadcast. So you have to understand, back in the day where Jesus was living, they didn't have nice John Deere's. They didn't have these big internationals. You know, they didn't have these plows. So what the farmer would do would take this handful of seed and just broadcast. Because every good farmer in today doesn't just plant anywhere he wants or where she wants, right? Got to look for the good soil, and then you plant in nice rows. Because why? Because the next machine you're going to use is a combine, right? And you're either going to get the wheat or you're going to get the corn or whatever, the soybeans, whatever the case. Here they didn't have that. They just went out and started broadcasting. And wherever the seed landed, what was produced was produced. So now it makes a little more sense that when Jesus says he went out and he scattered seed, and some fell along the what? The path. And other ones fell along what? Was it? Rocky soil, shallow soil. Some fell among the what? Weeds and the thorns. And the last one fell where? Fertile soil. And it produced. So here's the thing. I want us to recognize these soils as hearts. It's what they are. See, when you and I share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, wherever and whatever you're doing, every heart is one of these soils. Everyone. Guess what? You and I have one of these hearts. Now, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we have been, hopefully, changed. We've accepted him. And he is doing a work within us. But you know what? We still have the capability of having the shallow heart. We still have the capability of allowing the things of the earth grow up and start choking that thing Jesus is wanting to do in us. But when we go out, I want us to see people, not as like, are you saved or not, but see them as soil that God is wanting to plant something in. And we never know who you're talking to, which soil their heart is like. right? Interesting enough. So I brought, anybody know what this is? Yeah, oh my goodness. Oh, thank you. Thank you. See, now I feel permission to be very free about how I feel about vegetables. However, most of my family enjoys asparagus. You know, one thing I will say, I grew up, my brother can attest to this. I would literally spend hours at the table. My mom had this, I tell the story everywhere I go. My mom had this 5P rule. I hated peas. Hated peas. Yeah. And I don't know what God's purpose, huh? It caused cancer, yeah. The darker the green, yes, the more likely. And so it's one of those things that my mom had this 5P rule. And so I'm like, it was a standoff. It was a standoff. And that's honestly, I confess this, that's how I learned to swallow pills at an early age, because I was not going to chomp down on those things. And so like about 5 glasses of sweet tea, 5Ps later, those things are gone. But I, you know, and so when I met my wife who was, you know, she's still very much a health conscious and eats really healthy. And so she loves all these vegetables. And I know she probably prayed silently when we got really, you know, close and understanding, like, wow, you really don't like vegetables. And what are our kids going to be like? And I think God answered her prayer, because most of my kids love a variety of vegetables. Well, this is one I will never, yeah, I will, yeah, they're a walking testimony. God answers prayer. And so the interesting thing about asparagus, and I just learned this recently, which now I understand my wife's love of this. This is a vegetable that you need to understand takes a whole year to grow. It takes a whole year to grow. Most of us, when we plant, farmers plant, they plant what, in the spring? And by October, September, they're looking to harvest. The other beautiful thing about this vegetable, it only is harvested in the wintertime. Harvested in the wintertime. February, March, it's still harvested. They plant, and then it waits. Other thing about asparagus, you know why it takes so long for it to grow? The roots for the asparagus go 15 feet. Go 15 feet. Here's the thing I want us to capture. Our hearts were designed to be the residence of Jesus Christ. But as we meet people, their heart might be hardened by something. It might be the path where it just bounces off. It doesn't even go anywhere, and the birds come and they eat it. Their heart might be like the rocky places. There might be some reception where they're like, yes, I've been waiting to hear about this Jesus. And they accept him, and all of a sudden the things of the world and life start choking it out. And then there are those that it goes in and it goes deep. My challenge is this: wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, don't be afraid to go deep and deeper and deeper. I've never found anywhere in Scripture where Jesus or the disciples or the prophets said, whoa, you're getting a little too close to God there. I think you need to back up. I think you need to slow down. Let's get a little radical. See, the soils of our heart is a place where God desires to plant dreams, visions, and then for us to have faith that he's going to grow it. The hardest thing, though, is for us to wait. I don't like it. I don't want to wait. That's why they have express lanes now at Walmart and Sam's and Lowe's and all this, because I don't want to stand in line waiting for people who have 30,000 things to check out. That's why they have instant pay now. You know, you just wind your little card over and boop, you're done. Jesus later on goes and explains this passage. Verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, the enemy, Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. You know, one of the greatest revelations I had in college, and you would think growing up in Indiana it would have come to me sooner, but it did not. I remember taking, you know, this gentleman who was sharing this with me takes an ear of corn. He says, "Grant, what is this?" I said, "Well, it's an ear of corn. I'm from Indiana. I get that." He's like, "Yeah, but what is it really?" I'm like, "It's an ear of corn. I don't know what you're looking for." He's like, "No, think about it." And I had nothing because I did not have the perspective he had. And then finally he shared the perspective. He said, "I want you to take off one kernel." So I took one kernel off. He says, "Now what do you have?" I said, "I have a kernel of corn." He said, "You still don't get it." What'd you say? Exactly. He said, "Well, you know what? One kernel of corn can produce how many ears on one stalk, which equals how many kernels of corn." See, that's the thing. But one of the things that we often don't want to do is we don't want to take that seed, that thing that God has given to us, and we want to do this. We want to hold onto that thing tightly and say, "God, listen, you gave me this, and I'm keeping it." And often God says, "Yes, but what if you give that back to me? What if you let me have that back? What can I do with that if you give me that?" And I'm like, "I'll give you anything else you want, just not this. I'm human." And the thing about it is, God is coming to us and saying, "Listen, he has said through his word what? The harvest is what? Ripe." He's not even telling us, "Hey, you still need to keep going so and so and so." We do. But he's like, "He said it's ripe. But what's so few? The workers." So what does the workers, what do the sowers, what do the farmers all look like today? They're you and I. They are you and I. See, the beautiful thing is if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have seed, the gospel seed in you. The thing that changes you from a sower and to a soil and all that thing is like, what do you do with that seed? See, the thing in Indiana and even down around here, I love watching and looking at studying silos. Most dangerous place you can go as a farmer is a silo. Did you know that? Because, yeah, you get caught while the grain's coming in, you're done. There's nothing they can do for you. But it's where they store what? The seed, where they store for maybe the bad times. Jesus says, here's what it means. Here's what these soils mean. So let me ask you this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, who has the gospel seed, the gospel message in you, where are you sowing? Where are you sowing? See, when you walk up to somebody, more than likely you can't tell just from visually looking at them if they're a follower of Jesus Christ or not. Now, there's a few people out there you would probably come to an assumption right away. If they said, "I hate God" on their shirt, they're probably not a follower of Jesus Christ. Probably. But in today's society, it is so hard to tell. Because really, honestly, the cultural thing is it's cool to be cool with Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. Are they a true follower of Jesus Christ? We don't know. But the only way you can know is by sowing. Sowing into their life, whatever that is. I have the privilege on numerous occasions, and I haven't been able to do it here very often. I did it last night. I have a friend who is a Roanoke County police officer, and he hangs out at a certain place late in the evenings because that place gets crazy. And so, and there's always unpredictable things that are possibly going to happen. And so he is there in evenings. And so I go and join him. He's there from midnight to 6 a.m. And so I usually go and meet him and hang out with him to see what kind of soil, if you will, that is coming through the doors of this place. And I have been so overwhelmed by the opportunities that God has given, not just for me to share with him, but with other people. Just, if nothing else, the love of Jesus. That I don't come condemning because Jesus didn't. came to save. And so whether you have someone in your life who has not yet decided to follow Jesus, and I hope there is. I hope there are people in your world that have not decided to follow Jesus, but you're loving them. And if you don't have somebody in your life, then I'm asking you for God, for you to ask God, show you where you can begin to sow the gospel message. Because there are people, and we don't understand this, I'm convinced, even myself, sometimes I don't understand the weight and magnitude of people going to hell. And sometimes I have to be awakened by God's presence and His glory to say, do you understand those people don't know me? And if something's not said or done. There's another one. Anybody know what these are? Anybody? Grapes. Now, my daughter had to kind of help me out with this one. Roughly, you know how long it takes for actually a grapevine to produce? Yes, 2 to 3 years. So tell me, why in the world would you string these vines up? And knowing that you're not going to see anything for 2 to 3 years. See, it's amazing what we're willing to wait for. We're willing to wait for certain things, but we're not willing to wait on God about other things. And that is sometimes our biggest enemy. We sow and we want harvest. And patience is the one thing maybe God is trying us to get. He's helping us understand it's not by your ability, it's by His power. It's by His authority. Yes, He uses us. So, what do you do with that person who maybe you know has not decided to follow Jesus yet? Well, wait. Love on. Pray for. Because here's the beautiful thing. In Indiana and even here in Virginia, we have seasons, do we not? Thank goodness. I don't know if I could live in a constant, I don't know if I could live, we got a cousin that lived in Alaska. I'm like, I need more than like 2 months of somewhat warm weather. 60s of warm weather. I'm like, no, a little more. Yeah, but here's the thing. We have seasons, and it's amazing. Every time winter comes, what happens to the ground? Freezes. Gets hard, right? And in certain parts of the country, and even here, when springtime comes, what starts coming to the surface? Rocks. But the thing that always has to happen is the ground has to be tilled, has to be disturbed, has to be broken up before it's ready to be what? Planted. May we realize and recognize we are no different than that ground. I don't know if you're in a season of wintertime where you just feel like nothing is growing, everything is barren. Or maybe you're in this time of spring where you're just seeing this new life and this growth. Or maybe you feel like you're in the heat of summer where it's just like it's getting hot and unbearable. Or maybe you're seeing the fall where things are changing and you're like, oh, I know what's coming after this. I don't like what comes after fall. Wherever you're at, understand if you are a child of God, He has you where He wants you. Don't fight the season you're in. Embrace it and say, God, what is it that I am to get? What is it I'm supposed to be growing in this season right now of my life? Because one thing is for sure, God wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. Even when you feel like He has abandoned you, where He's walked away and He is not talking to you, He is wanting to use that time as well for us to wait. Wait. See, interesting enough, as we share the gospel message, I pray each of us have the experience of leading one, at least one, to the Lord and watch what that one produces. Because this one that falls on the good soil produces what? 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. Do you know who led Billy Graham to the Lord? Most people don't know that. Say it a little louder. Yeah, a shoe salesman. Who led, even go to Dr. Falwell. Who led him to the Lord? Or even these big names that God has been using around the world. Who led them to the Lord? Dwight Moody. That's just it. You never know who you're sowing into. But one thing is for sure, God never, ever lets the gospel message return empty. Never. We never do wrong. Even if we see that person living contrary to God after we shared the message, it's still there. It's still there. Wait on God. Let Him begin to ripen the heart. Toil the soil. Because guess what? Everyone has what? A bad day. A bad experience in life. And if you have shared the love of Jesus Christ with that person, guess what? You might get that phone call. And that phone call might go something like this. Hey, I'm just having a bad day, and I don't know who to talk to. Before it's over, maybe you have the opportunity to pray for them in their situation. It's not difficult at all. But here's the one thing I do challenge all of us, myself included. And this is probably the hardest part of this parable. The question is, are you reproducing? Are you reproducing? The only way the seed can reproduce is if it's planted and it grows. But here's the one guarantee. Here's the one absolutely positive, one guarantee that a farmer gets is if he never plants, it never grows. Always. If he keeps the seed in the silo, guaranteed no growth. Nothing. But if we decide to never plant, if we decide to never sow the gospel message in anybody, guaranteed we never see anything. And we were not called to see nothing. We were called to see God do this incredible work. He told his disciples, "You will do even greater things than I." Well, how's that going to happen? He took fishermen and made them farmers. Took tax collectors and made them farmers. Took these other guys. We don't even know what they did, but they became farmers. You and I need to be reminded we've got to become farmers. We've got to be sowers of the message of Jesus Christ and do it without fear. Because he didn't give that fear to us. It comes from someone else. That fear, remember that one part it says right here? It says that fear, that trouble or persecution that comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. May we not be those people that are quickly falling away because of fear. Someone might say something. Let them say it. Let them say it. This morning, we've all been given the gospel message, the seed. And the reality of it is, something is growing in us. Always growing in us. It could be good fruit, and it could be bad fruit. That's the thing. When I worked with children's ministry for many years, and youth ministry before that, I always had this, I love doing this thing, is I'd always tell the kids and the students, listen, I know what's in your heart. And they kind of get this look like, whoa, I don't think that's godly. You know, I was like, well, we're not that kind of church, are we? And I said, no, I know what's in your heart. And they like, well, how would you know that, Grant? I said, because I listen to what you talk about. The scripture is very clear that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the mouth speaking, guess what? Then the hands do, and the feet do, and the eyes do, and the mouth does. So the question is, is your life producing, if nothing else, healthy fruit? Good fruit. If you've got a sourpuss attitude, guess what? Ain't nobody in this world want to be like you. Just being very honest. And if you're the person in your office that, you know, you can't figure out who the person in your office is, the negative one, it's probably you. Just so you know. Or is the negative one in the house, you know, that's probably you. But that's the important thing of leaving our heart open. Our soil turned over so that God can begin to produce what he wants. God, this morning it has and it has to always be about you. Sometimes my agenda gets in the way of yours. And Lord, sometimes being uncomfortable is the last place we want to be. God, I pray that this morning you would take your word and, like the asparagus, Lord, would it go deep into our spirit. May it go deep, deep into our soul. Lord, remind us this week. We all have a heart that represents one of these soils. And we all have the seed. And we are all sowers. If we are following you, Lord, you gave the command, the commission to your disciples to go forth and make more disciples. Lord, that is still true of us if we call ourselves a disciple of you. We are to go forth and make more disciples. It's not by our strength or our ability, it's just by our availability, our willingness to obey your word, and we will trust you with the harvest. We'll trust you with the changes. Because like every farmer that plants, after it's in the ground, it's up to you, God. It's up to you. I pray this week, God, that you would give somebody in front of us an opportunity to share your love and your gospel message of grace. We are desperate, Lord, for you to do something. And may we be your hands and your feet to see that accomplished. Lord, I pray for Penn Forest. Lord, may, as I've already heard, and Lord, as I've been able to catch up with Myron just sporadically over these last few years, you are doing a work. You're doing a work. And I pray that it would be 100, more than 60, more than 90, more than, Lord, what they've ever seen before, but that you and them connected would see a great harvest, to see hearts and lives changed. And God, to confess, that includes me. I still need my heart changed. I still need my life changed. Lord, there's still strongholds that you're wanting to bring down. There's still things and fears that you're wanting to get power over. And I pray, Father, that for anyone in this church, if there is anything like that, that we would just release that and allow you to have access to everything in our lives. We are your people who are called by your name. And may we be workers in an already ripe field. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for who you are, what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're yet to do. May we be found faithful day in and day out, pursuing you, chasing after you, for your kingdom's sake. We love you and we thank you. Bless these people as they go from here, Lord. May they enjoy a day of rest with you. And may the word be ever close to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Grant. Now if you would stand with me for the blessing. Actually, you already blessed us, but we're going to do it again. And now may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May you be prepared in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope that you have. And may you spread that seed everywhere, all the time, and not only spread the seed, but harvest as well, as God grants you the availability. And may his love fill you this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace to love and serve our risen Savior, Jesus Christ.